Winchester.
Oh, please call me Nina. Come on in. So why do you want this job?
I just really enjoy being a housemaid. For the right families, of course.
You know this is a live-in position, right?
Ta-da! This is your room.
What do you think?
It's perfect.
Okay, good.
Listen to me. Why you listen to me? Listen to me, I said.
Well, 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 another episode. It's kind of a miracle. Doesn't happen very often. Guys, we're back. I'm back. I've got Julianne.
Hello.
She hasn't been back in a really long time.
I know. I'm never allowed to be on this.
It's such a privilege. Allowed?
I'm really excited. How excited was I when I walked in and this equipment was set up?
You were eager. Like an eager beaver.
Here I am. Yep.
So there's no opening at the moment that I've added, but there will be when you hear this. I think that's going to be, it's going to let you know what we're talking about today, which is
the housemaid.
The housemaid.
Right.
Which I kind of wanted to see.
You wanted to see, I've read all three books, so.
You did.
I mean, we're just going to jump right in. There's mm-hmm, the housemaid. Mm-hmm. That's the first mm-hmm. of the three. There's three books by Freda McFadden, who writes a lot of books that are entitled the insert word. But I want to say this was like her first. Her mm-hmm. I should do the research on that. But I want to say was like the first of all of her books. I could be wrong.
Well, you can look it up while I talk.
So it's The Housemaid.
It's The Housemaid.
The second book is called The Housemaid's Secret, and the third book is called The Housemaid is Watching. And I've read all three this summer, and I think you were annoyed because I read them like so fast.
No, I'm not annoyed.
And you're I wanted to watch that. No, I wanted to read that.
I'm envious of readers. This is why I have a movie podcast, because I feel like I can't read well, not well read. Like, and you're a good reader. You are a...
I love
to
read.
You are well read, right?
I mean, I don't know that I'm well read. I feel like if you say someone's well read, they've read like the classics and they read like poetry and they...
I've read the classics.
I've read some of the classics.
Name a classic that you've read.
Persuasion.
I don't even know what that is.
Wuthering Heights.
Hate Wuthering Heights.
It's The Scarlet Letter. Good. I mean, like That's the books good. That they make yeah. you read in school.
Yeah.
Persuasion is Jane Austen. I've read Jane Austen on my own accord, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Right now, I just read what I want to read, which is usually like, psychological thrillers.
I like those.
Really bad, like
you love
gay
romance.
Or straight romance that are quick reads, and then like historical fiction that depresses me, and then I need to read something like Colleen Hoover or something like cheesy and smutty to get me past, you know, Nazi Germany in the 1940s.
Right, that is true. You do that.
So yeah. I switch it up often because some books put me in a dark place and I need like...
You need a chaser.
I need sex. That's what I need. That's
what I need. The mood.
To lighten the mood. Just some, you know, 20-year-olds falling in love in 158 pages. That's what I need.
Well... This is a good, I think this is like, okay, I'll say this about this movie. First of all, let me give you the, for those of you who are like, what's The Housemaid? And you haven't read the three books. It just came out this year. It's out right now in the theaters. We literally just went and saw it in the theater, which was fun. Let me go to the IMDb. So this is the one liner description. A struggling young woman is relieved by the chance for a fresh start as a maid for a wealthy couple. Soon she discovers that the family secrets are far more dangerous than her own. Yes, they are. So this movie is directed by Paul Feig. Calm yourself down. That's his name.
I didn't say anything.
We're not doing anything bad here.
I'm fact checking
myself. It's written by Freda McFadden and Rebecca Sonnenschein. What a great last name.
It's like sunshine.
Yeah, that's really nice. And of course, stars Sydney Sweeney, full of controversy, this person, and Amanda Seyfried. Seyfried. Is that how you say that? S-E-Y-F-R-I-E-D.
Sounds good to me.
Seyfried and Brandon Sklenner. Sklenner. Whatever. And and then there's, you know, oddly, there was a surprise. There's just a few other people that Elizabeth Perkins, I did not expect to look the way she did.
Who was the guy, Andrew?
That's the guy. What's his name? Brandon Sklenner.
Oh. What has he been in? Anything else?
Let's take a look, guys. Let's take a look. He looks like he's been in...
While Tiff is looking, there's another Housemaid's book that I didn't know. Oh, Westworld.
Loved Westworld.
There's another book.
After this one?
There's two books after the movie we just watched.
Okay.
The movie we just watched was only the first book.
It was.
It was only
I thought it was all three combined.
No. We're gonna unpack.
So this is gonna be sequel territory.
But there is The Housemaid's Wedding.
Oh boy.
Oh, a short story. That's
okay.
This was not her first. This was not Freida McFadden's first book. She wrote some other ones. She wrote like a couple new ones, like 2015, 2017 were probably like trying to get out on the scene. Then 2020, 2021, she had some, but I feel like this is the one that really.
This one is the popular one.
It is. And because then people started reading her other ones, The Crash, The Inmate, The Teacher, The Intruder, The Tenant.
This, that, the other.
Right.
But okay, so this could be a good thing for us is where you do like it's book club slash movie.
Love it.
Like mashup kind of where we just do movies that were books.
Yeah,
we could because you could read the book and I won't read it. And then
we'll see the movie together.
And then we can compare like my version of review, which is no information. Right. And yours with the book reading.
Well, I will say, are you done talking about the movie people?
What movie people? Yeah, I'm done because this is a basic... I mean, I feel like there's not a lot of people in this film.
This is my thought as a book movie podcast situation, which is...
Let's go.
I really enjoyed that they did not change the story. Like, the story was not changed.
Okay, it's still recording. Sorry. It's confused me. We're fine.
Okay.
Keep going.
As I was saying, it did not change the story to the book because what I really hate is when... I read a book and I love the book. And sometimes when you're reading a book, you're like, this would make a great movie. Like I just finished The Silent Patient that you actually had read and you were like,
I did. I want that to be a film actually. That
right.
would be great.
So sometimes you do read books and you're like, this would make a great movie. But then you go see the movie and you're like, that's not at all what happened. And it was such a great book that you're like, why did you change it?
Right.
So they didn't. Yeah. I do think there was like one part of the story that they changed.
Okay.
But it was not, it didn't make a big difference.
No.
Like it was like, well, okay, fine.
No.
So I liked that.
Okay, let's
back it up.
Let's back it up.
Right. I need you to be more in charge here.
That's fine.
Like, I have a lot to say and I've been holding it in for the past.
Okay.
Like,
well, that was the thing
hours.
Too, is we just saw it in the theater and we just came out and we decided not to discuss it because we had to get some food. We had some Thai food, which was delicious. Shout out to the secret sauce.
So good.
You guys want to like, you know, what do you call that? Sponsor.
I think they
wouldn't care.
Sponsor,
but nobody
we should
listens.
You should go.
I'm sorry, guys listen, whoever you are. There's listeners. I'm going to start with a little bit of like, you're talking about the book. I'm going to say, a little interesting about Sydney Sweeney is I think there's two main stars in this film. And I think she is one of the big headliners of this movie because everybody's starting to know who Sydney Sweeney is. There's a little controversy about her in her actual life. Not to get political, but I think like even my daughter was like, I don't want to see any of her stuff because she's, you know, I don't like her politics and I don't like this and that about her. So, not to throw anybody under the bus or anything, but interesting that she's moving it along. You know, she's actually really good. And I will say like, this isn't a movie that's probably going to be a contender for any Oscars because it's not that kind of film, but first of all, did you like it? I liked it. I thought it was a little, it had cheese ball moments for me and I have my critiques about some of the stuff, which is pretty typical for this kind of a movie though. it's like to be expected.
Sure.
You know, because like the first one was, okay, so I did like it. Give me how you feel just right off the bat. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. As I said, it stuck really true to the book. It also gave me, well, it was cool listening to you like track the story because I obviously knew the twist that was going to happen.
What was coming.
But what you were experiencing was exactly what you experience in the book, which is you're like,
right.
I don't want to say too much right now because I feel like you I'm going to jump
it.
Ahead.
It's okay. It's, but like, did you like watching it or was it just like
I
you
did.
Were
I thought
comparing
the
whole time?
No, I wasn't comparing. I did feel like the character that played Millie, which was, what's her name?
Sydney Sweeney.
I could have done without her.
Yeah.
Not that she wasn't a great actress. She was great. But that is not who I envisioned playing this character.
Yeah, if you were to cast this film, who would you have put in it? I know that you're not, you might not know who.
I don't know. Someone that was a little bit more like.
Voluptuous?
Less voluptuous.
Right. A little less voluptuous.
Like a little more like mousy. Like I feel like they were trying to make her mousy.
She's too sexy.
Yeah. She would look sometimes, she was too sexy. And when, I think the other problem is like, when I read the books, mm-hmm. as I do with many books, is mm-hmm. I will read them, but then when I go to the gym or go for a walk, I will listen to the book on tape so I can get like further along. And the person on the audiobook had this like Boston accent.
Oh, that's cool.
So Millie, in my mind, was this like, you know, she was from the other side of the tracks. She was in prison for 10 years. Yeah. She was like, had this accent. I don't even think it was Boston, but it was like a New York, maybe Long Island. I don't know. Some accent.
Something.
Some very distinct
something
accent.
Something not upper class.
Correct. Like, I could even pull it up right now, actually.
It's okay. You could if you want.
But like, then to see that actress that was very, like, pouty and eyebally and boobs, I was like, what
so
is
so many
happening?
Boobs.
So much.
She's nothing but also, boobs like, all the time. It's like, I mean, it's just...
What quantifies, like, you can put so much in a rated R movie now.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, that's pretty typical, though.
Is it? Maybe it's been a while that I've seen
it. I mean, you can
movie.
See a penis in a rated R film now.
What?
Of course you can. It used to be like, I don't know, but rated R is rated R. Like, you can definitely see some stuff. Yeah, so let's walk through it a little bit. I'm blind to the story. I knew it was a thriller, mystery, whatever. Like, I knew stuff was going to happen. I wasn't like, it wasn't a comedy. It wasn't a romance. So I knew what I was in for, which I love, you know, obviously I like a thriller, a true crime story or anything that's like murder related or something. But I did feel that in the very beginning. I was like, this is very Hollywood like movie because everybody's gorgeous. Everybody's gorgeous. Even the Enzo, who's the landscaping guy.
Yeah, but that's in the book that he's gorgeous.
It is that he's gorgeous in
it
the
is
book.
That he's gorgeous. But okay, he's like, so that he's supposed to be this like tattooed,
sexy
like
landscaper?
Handsome. Yeah.
It's very porno. I'm just kidding.
No. I know. It's like very, it's like what really, was that show? Like the little. Housewives? What was that show?
What
Secret
show?
Life of the House, not the Real Housewives, but the other Housewives show.
I don't know. There's so many. There's like 8 million.
No, it's not a reality. It was like a real show.
It was like a fictional show.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You like this microphone?
Well, I think it's just like the Thai food is making me like a little sleepy. I'm like, I just want to rest my mouth.
You need like a little microphone. You need to do this. You can bring it.
You hear a thump, it might be my forehead.
It's okay. Well, I'll just say for me, not knowing the book, I thought that was a little much. I was like, she's gorgeous. The other one's gorgeous. The husband's like ridiculously gorgeous. Like, I don't even think he was, I mean, it was funny. And the outfits were stupid. No offense. Like
Millie's outfits.
I mean, Millie and him. Every scene with him.
He had like a turtleneck.
He was either
on.
Like, he looked like an ad, like he was a J. Crew ad with like his jacket and his sweater.
Turtlenecks. There were
turtlenecks,
a lot of turtlenecks for him.
Or he was just in a white tank top that was so tight to his body.
Right.
He was just so ripped.
Right.
I'm like, okay, guys.
Yeah, that was.
They were kind of like pumping up the sexual like content or whatever you call it.
Correct.
The appeal
sex
of the
appeal.
People.
Right.
And I will say, just because I've had other conversations about movies in general that are effectively like a little more, they get you a little more, like you feel like you get more engaged in the movie and the people when they're not actually. Like, I feel like when the actors are just like regular people looking, it feels a little
more authentic.
Yeah. And you can kind of start to get like, I feel a little more like, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like there was the one scene where she comes downstairs to watch TV and she's like, and it, and in the book it says like, I had a sports bra on and like a hoodie.
So she's sexy.
But like, but she doesn't come across as being like, the girl's like, I mean, I don't look bad, but I've been in prison for 10 years. Like, right. I don't, you know, like she talked about how like her clothes were kind of like homely and like whatever and like not fashionable. And I still feel like the girl dressed like fashionable. I don't know. It was weird. And then
she looked like,
but then she
dress.
Came down in the tank, in the sports bra and the sweatshirt, and her boobs were like so up, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like,
well,
come
it's,
on.
It's odd to me because I've seen Sydney in things where she's not like, she's in this movie that was like about a nun that goes the Immaculate or whatever. That movie's crazy, by the way, where she's in a nun outfit the entire time. Okay, so it totally removes that aspect of her like ability to act because you're not focused on her body at all.
Right.
But in there, in a lot of things I've seen her in, like in Euphoria, that show Euphoria, like, yeah, they play it up a lot. The fact that she has these boobs that are like, you know, they kind of like take over. And it's, I'm shocked that she would want to, cause she is a producer, executive producer in the credits.
Right.
And I thought, well, why would you want to like, I don't know, allow people to see you as a little more of the character. But you're saying the character has moments of sexiness. Because she does end up with the guy.
The character talks about how she's like, I'm this many years old. I've been in prison the last 10 years. Like, I haven't really seen a man. Like, oh, he's right. really attractive. Okay. Like, there's a lot more internal dialogue in the book than there was in the movie because you're watching the internal dialogue
play out.
Yeah,
they're visually playing
it
out. Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. All right, let's walk through it a little bit.
Okay, so she gets hired. She's just out of prison. Millie.
I mean, they get right into it.
Yeah. She's interviewing.
Well, we don't know any of that watching the film.
You don't. I knew because.
Right. She comes into a house to interview. Yes.
You notice that she lives out of her car. So you're kind of like, why? What's the deal with her living out of her car?
Yeah, what's the deal with her? She's broke or homeless.
She gets
or
hired by this family that seems to be very nice.
Very rich.
Very nice. Seems like they don't even need a housekeeper because the house looks immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so she gets hired, which she's happy about because she's living out of her car. And then the dad's super nice, but then like her first night there, like she notices like they put her up in this like attic little space and there's like one tiny window that doesn't open. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a lock on the door from the outside only. And there's like, so there's some things that lead you to believe, like, what the heck's up with this room, right?
Well, they move it pretty quick. It's like she needs the job, blah, blah, blah. She becomes the housemaid. And very quickly, there are things. That's the first thing, is you notice the door. But then the things that are really starting weird to happen is the wife.
Right. Like the next morning, right away.
Completely nuts.
Right.
Even like from the interview, she goes to the interview, which is like the house is immaculate. And then the woman calls her and is like, we want you to come today. Come hurry. Like just
right.
need
and she
you.
She walks into the house and
house
it's like
is,
a mess.
It is like a crazy party happening there. Can we talk about that first of all? Yeah. Like what was that? Like I remember thinking like, what the fuck happened in her house? I mean, we're talking like food on the, all over the kitchen, on the, in the living room, there's shit everywhere. I mean, it would have taken effort to make that kind of mess.
Yeah, well,
I
mean, she gets in the fridge and opens up the milk and throws it on the floor in that.
Right.
I mean, that's the next morning after she stays there, but like.
But even when she first walks in for the job.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's like,
but
you're
I
like,
think
what
the,
happened?
I think Nina, Amanda Seyfried, she's intentionally creating
these
messes.
Well, that's what we start to realize is she is creating a lot of chaos.
But
for
I
this
think
girl.
What's really cool.
Yeah.
From a like a the book perspective is like the character development that's being built is they're building this character of Nina Winchester as being a villain. So like,
right.
And also, you know, in the movie and in the book, they talk about how she's kind of like a head case. Like she's been into an inpatient center. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this whole story about her in the community. And so as a, like a viewer or a reader, you believe that this woman is like pure evil and that she's like a lunatic and psychotic. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I took from it. Let's just, if we take the book out of it, like.
Well, that's what I said. I think that movie was really well done because I feel like you were having the same commentary that I was having.
Right. I mean, like, the problem was this for me is that because it was so like, sometimes it was, her behavior was so wild that it made me laugh. I don't know why I was laughing, but I was kind of laughing. Like when she was like, bleh, like she was losing her mind. It was almost like funny. Cause you're like, what is wrong with this person? Yeah. And, you know, that was what was a little weird for me. Cause I was like, watching it acted out, am I supposed to be taking like, this like seriously? Right. And also that, like, I guess I'll say, okay, couple things coming from no book, just going back to it now. Let's talk about like the first time she freaks out in the kitchen because she cannot find her PTA speech.
Right.
That she wrote the night before in the chaotic, crazy ass mess that was all over the kitchen.
Right.
And Sydney is like just there from the day before, cleans all that shit up. And then she's being blamed for throwing away her speech, which is so important. And this woman has a complete nervous breakdown in the kitchen. And of course her husband has to like, you know, which he's perceived as being so amazing because he's so gentle with her and he's like sweet about it. And she's fucking crazy. She's screaming and yelling and acting like a lunatic. And I thought it was a little weird when this and other things would start to happen, her erratic up and down behavior where she would do something nice. And then she would, the next time she would do something to her that was really fucked up a couple times. But Sydney's character, like, and maybe that's why I laughed about it, is she just kind of acted like it was okay. Like she didn't really get upset about it. And like, I think I would have liked to see her evolve a little bit for us, like the viewer, of like really showing how really fucked up that was for her. That she really was like, oh my God, like I'm just trying to. And like, she just seemed to kind of go like,
well, she did have that one time where she was like in her room writing in her journal about like, she's crazy, but like, I really need this job. Right. And like, and I think that's, I like that part of the story because I think that there are a lot of people like in life that have to really suck it, that really have to suck it because they're in situations where they like need to be paid or they, I mean, this girl not only needed the money, but she didn't have a place to live. Mm-hmm. So like she needed this. And so she was going to like suck it because she really needed the job and the housing and like all of the above. And also I think when someone's been like in prison for like, can you imagine being like that young and being in prison for 10 years? Like she's like, okay, fine. It's not prison. Like fine. Like whatever.
Yeah. I guess like, I just felt like from a movie like from the fact that the way they wanted it to show you those things.
Right.
Like they also did add a voiceover in the very beginning, but then you didn't see a lot of that later. Like, do you remember that? When she leaves the interview, you hear the voiceover.
Oh yeah.
So we're with her cause she's the one, when they do voiceover in movies, you're with that person. But then they
kind of stopped doing it.
They stopped doing it. And like, I think when you think about a book being translated into a film, those are huge things that you have to figure out, which is like, how are we going to show?
It's a good point.
How are we going to show this backstory? How are we going to show that she, cause in a book you can really bring people right in.
She did a voiceover later after Nina was like, talked about like you were in prison. And then she kind of took us back about how she got in prison.
Right. But that happened way later. The first indication is when she has to go see her parole officer.
Right.
So that's the first time we get like of an idea that like, this is something is happening with her. She obviously was in jail.
Right.
And like now we get a hint of it, of her backstory. And then I think like the journaling is one way to say like another voiceover of like, this is how I'm dealing with this. But I almost wonder if it would have been, which this also could have been really cheesy to translate it. It would have been interesting if she had like one person that she could vent to or call or someone where we were in this space of like knowing a little bit more about, because I really will say I felt very disconnected from her character because I don't have the backstory that you have. So I was just kind of like, okay, when is this going to get like crazy? Because I know it's going to get crazy. Right. So I was kind of waiting for that to happen. And like, I think if they did something a little...
I think you're just supposed to feel bad for her, like that she's just trying to like make it. And I think if mm-hmm. she had somebody that she could call and vent to, you'd be like, just go move in with them. But like, I think that's the point is like she didn't, her parents, like she's estranged from her parents. Like she didn't, she's, mm-hmm. she doesn't have mm-hmm. relationships because of she's been in prison. Right. And like, and then when you find out later why she was put in prison, because she killed somebody, because this guy was basically raping her roommate from school.
Right.
And she freaked out and like got him off of her and like her rage got the best of her. That's the part that I think is weird, is that she's so like, I'm sorry, Mrs. Winchester, not a big deal. But then you're like, wait a minute.
This is to my point. Like, and I want you to, this is hard for you to do because I can see the book has really, you're just in the book. Like I don't know if you were able to watch this film without all of that.
I actually
in your
took
head.
A nap for the past the 2 hours of the film.
But so. I mean, looking at it as if you didn't know anything. Right. Like if you didn't have any of that information, would you have cared about her character? Not knowing any of those things until the way they revealed it to you. I'm just saying from my point of view, I was along for the ride because I was like, all sure. right, I'm just hanging on here. But I will say that there wasn't a lot that I felt
a connection with her.
No, I was actually more concerned about the wife.
Right.
To be honest, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this woman?
Yeah.
You know, like I felt for her a little bit, but because they didn't give us enough early on, I felt like, well, I mean, maybe this is, she's just,
well, and
know.
Quite honestly, I she's feel like fucking... if she wasn't so pretty, we thank would have felt a little.
That's, thank you.
That we would
cover
felt...
the fucking boobs.
Cover them up.
I'm just saying, like, all I could see was boobs every 5 minutes.
Yeah, and the eyes.
Yeah, and you're right. I think they could have, no offense, directors and people that made this movie, like, she is a strong character. You find out way later how strong she is. We don't know this about her
like,
at
quite
all.
Honestly,
I think for the first hour
and a half.
Believe,
I would have, not that I'm saying Amanda Seyfried's not pretty, but I could have believed her as Millie.
I agree.
More. And,
I think
and,
they should have flipped that completely. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I'm sure they didn't because Amanda's probably older than Sydney, but like, I don't know. She just was a little too sexy for the part for me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there wasn't an evolution either.
Okay, let's move on. Like, I feel like we're hating on her.
No, this is what we do. I'm not hating on her.
I know, but I want to move on in the storyline.
What do you want to talk about? I want you to talk about the movie, though, not the story, not the book. I'm going to be hard on you.
Listeners, do you remember how maybe 10 minutes ago she was like, this is a great marriage of like the movie and the book.
It is,
you're a
but
reader,
we still
but
are talking about
like,
the
don't
film.
Don't talk about the book.
Well, because people are going to watch the movie. So you can start with the movie and then you
or
can talk about.
Maybe people will listen because they've read the books.
All right, fine. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I just was saying we should just move the storyline along.
Oh, okay. So, well, go ahead. Where do you want to move
so,
it to?
So... the wife, Nina, Amanda Seyfried, does all these weird things. Like, she's like, pick her up from ballet. Mm-hmm. Her daughter, she has a daughter. Pick her up from ballet. She goes to pick her up. And then she's like, I didn't tell you to do that. So there's a lot of, like, gaslighting. There's a lot of, like, crazy behavior. You meet some of the other, like, wealthy moms that talk about how Nina Winchester was, you know, put in a facility and blah blah blah, and mm-hmm. then you find out even later that apparently there was an attempt that Nina Winchester tried to kill her daughter, like drowned her, and she took a bunch of pills. Like, you hear the rumor mill right through different
yes.
occurrences. Yes, so you're yes. really starting to be like, mm-hmm. oh my god, this woman is crazy. And then you start to notice scenes and signs where the dad, Andrew Winchester, and which I say dad, but he is not actually,
he's the husband,
the daughter's yeah. biological father.
Correct.
So you start to notice him, there being this like attraction between him and the housemaid.
Yep.
I of feel
course,
like
with
started,
their sexy ass bodies.
I feel like that started a little early, like coming from him a little early. Not to bring up the book, but like she would like
you can bring
she
up
would
the
talk about the internal dialogue that you were talking about that was missing. That it was missing. Would be like, oh my god, he's hot. Like, oh my god. What,
well,
oh my.
She has that dream about him,
right? She has a dream
where
about
she's
him.
Having sex with him,
right? But like, even through like, when he just comes down for like work in the morning or whatever, right, she's like, right. Oh my God, stop staring right. at him. He's really gorgeous. Yeah, so like, I think that, and it appeared in the book that it was more from like Millie's perspective that she had this attraction
right,
to him.
Right.
And that to me felt appropriate because it's like, okay, well, she's like younger and like.
And she's been in prison for 10 right, years. I'm like, shocked she's not gay.
Heyo.
I'm just saying. I mean, we've all seen Orange is the New Black.
We have.
She did not get. I'm sorry. That girl in prison?
Right.
Give me a break.
Right.
I'm surprised.
All right.
That she even likes guys after that. Can I just. I have a random question. You welcome don't need to the raise ADHD your hand. Go ahead. Podcast.
It's taking okay, a turn.
It just literally hit me because I just we're going along with this whole thing, but I just had the first most important question, which maybe they do, maybe book person you can answer the this for me.
First most important question.
It is the first most important question of this entire thing, which is how in the hell does a homeless parolee find this position to apply to in the first place with no computer? I'm just saying, like, how did she even find this family? Because my second most important question, which I started thinking of pretty quickly when all the crazy shit started happening with this wife. What's the wife's name?
Nina.
Nina Yuloon. She didn't, you know, there was this thing of, like, she didn't seem to vet the housemaid, right? Because that's what you, listen, what you do is you vet people.
I think she did vet her.
Well, we find that out later because that was a shock to me that she was like, you know, didn't seem to know much about this girl's life because she was like, well, where are you going? Why do you have to leave? Like all that. When she said she had to go to an important meeting, which was her parolee visit, parole officer.
I think it thing. Was that was just another.
Right. Aspect. But so the same yeah. question I'm having is for this girl, which is how did this girl get this information to apply for this family? Not knowing anything about the family, because I'll tell you, I don't know anything about being a nanny, but I would definitely look them up and Google them and try to find out who these people were before I decided to go work for them. Wouldn't you? I mean,
maybe I wouldn't.
You would too.
I wouldn't because I wasn't.
You wouldn't look up like were they like anything about them at all? I mean, I Google I didn't. Everyone.
I didn't do it. I was a nanny in college and I didn't look people up.
You never, but I did people, I nannied didn't for, do the internet exist? Well,
I, first of all, I didn't live with them.
I'm older than you.
I didn't live with them. And also, I think my first nanny job was.
We're high levels. What? No, we're okay. We're getting loud. Here, sorry. Back it up, babe.
Back it up, back it up.
Sorry, your boobs were in the way.
Mine or yours?
I'm just kidding. I don't have any.
Okay, let's keep it. All right.
So, is that a dumb question though? Like, did she had no idea about these people at all? If this woman had gone to a insane
no.
Go ahead.
I'm answering. So, first of all, that is a good point. You really don't know. I don't think you always look somebody up because what I was in the middle of saying was like. I got a nanny job in college, but it's because one of my like classmates mm-hmm. couldn't nanny for them anymore. So I got was it. Kind of like, would you want to do that? They're a really nice family, whatever. So I just like took somebody's word for it. But then I had other nanny jobs where I just nannied and.
But like, were those referrals as well? Where someone's like, I don't remember I have a family. Because if you get a referral from a friend, that's different.
Yeah, I guess it was. But it is interesting how like they don't ever.
Well, it was interesting to me how she found like maybe I didn't she think was about on that. Like
a nanny website.
Probably.
And she Probably. Wasn't getting hits. I think maybe they do talk about that in the book. But maybe she wasn't getting hits because people were looking see, her up.
I think that would have been important to show.
And so
unless they were really trying to keep us in because the dark.
You do find out that Nina knew she had a right. record and so that she intentionally picked yes. her out.
Right. So actually, maybe they left that out if there was some.
Maybe they did, but maybe
because
they
it would give a lot away about Nina pretty early on. We would know a lot more about her if she was selectively picking people, just like he was selectively picking people that had abusive and
right.
poor and like, right. you know, rough.
So before histories. We get there, before we get there.
Okay, go ahead.
When you're watching the movie and you've made the comment like, wow, the movie was really quite long. And the book, you know, it's a book. It's couple hundred pages of a book. And so when you get to the point in the book where, you know, obviously the husband, Andrew, sleeps with the nanny.
Yes.
And Amanda Seyfried, the mother, the wife, Nina, loses her shit. And she's like, I know you guys are screwing and blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? You're done. And he kicks her out.
Right.
And then she's like, she's happy about it. So there's this moment of like,
well, we don't know that right away.
You don't know right away.
But then we know.
But then you know. But he's like, you know, then with the maid, and they're like having a moment. And there's a part of you, I don't know if you felt this way in the movie, because we've already talked about how we didn't like love this character. Like, we didn't feel any attachment
to Millie. Yeah, I mean, in the book you're like,
oh my gosh, like, finally they got rid of the old like brute, and now she's gonna like have this fairy tale life.
Yeah.
And then, but then you're also like, in the book you're like, I'm not even halfway through this book, so like, what the hell is the rest of it gonna be about?
You know a little more then. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But even when reading the book the first time, you're like, what the hell is gonna happen to the next 200 pages if this is the happy ending? Like, what? And so then it's like, you know, this is what I do in my class all the time. I'll be like, skirt. Like, that's what I feel like happened in the movie. Skirt.
It's like, hold on, I got some sound effects.
No, that's not a good one.
That's an applause. Ooh, that's a dreamy sound. Okay, none of those work. It's okay. I'd have to change them because I changed them for fun recently, but they don't fit.
Oh, Allison. Although
I
broke
do
the
like
other one.
I do like this one. Yeah. Sad trombone.
Okay.
No,
so I feel like that happened in the movie too, because there's still quite a bit of movie left. Are we so loud?
All right, I'm done, I swear.
There's still quite a bit of movie left. Yeah. And then what happens in both book and movie is that the wife, Nina, starts writing a letter to her daughter and is like, explains the whole story about how she was basically like, I wouldn't say groomed is the right word, but like, he sees that she is a little bit of a victim of life and wants to take her in. He sees that she's easily manipulated.
Yeah, I think he shows a pattern of going after people that have had a lot of trauma and loss and have nothing.
Right. So he can come in to have like the savior complex and manipulate and abuse these people. And so what you find out is that he used to lock his wife in this little tiny attic.
Yeah. It's very flowers in the attic.
Where, I don't know what that is.
It's not really, but it's
where,
just when you said attic, I thought
the housemaid was staying. So when, at the beginning, the foreshadowing of like seeing the door and seeing the weird lock and seeing that the window doesn't open, you're kind of like, what? And then you realize he used to lock his wife up in there. I think he still was locking her up in there pretty regularly. And that's why she was like, oh, you're going to be a live-in nanny. Because she's like, can't lock me up in there anymore.
That was
if
smart.
You're living in there.
That's right.
She's very smart.
That was very smart.
So, and then that's when you find out that she knew Nina.
Right.
Or Nina knew that Millie had a record.
Yes.
She even says it wasn't for like drugs or stealing. Right. It was for murdering someone. So she knew she was capable.
So can I divert off of just talking about the details and do what I usually do?
I'm so sorry.
No, I like what you're doing, but I'm starting to like feel a need.
Okay.
To get a little personal.
Great.
Which we can't really, because I have no.
I actually was in prison for 10 years.
I mean, just in the themes of this movie, if you were to say, what are the themes in this movie, or what are like the things that it comments on or brings up? Aside from abuse, kidnapping.
Abuse, male dominance, like male, like.
I think there's definitely a lot they're saying about wealth and class systems, which I think we all love, kind of. We all love it when the rich people are bad. What is
also,
that about? And then also what? Go ahead.
Second chances.
The, what do you call that? The rags to riches story.
And also,
Little Orphan Annie.
There's a bit of like female, like sisterhood. Like there's a sense of sisterhood.
Yeah, I really, and I'm going to say this. Just a little bit pissed me off. Because I think what they needed to do was show her to be a complete, Nina had to look like a complete lunatic. I didn't really feel the moments of connection between them, because I think I'm guessing in the book there must have been more confusion around her sometimes being like so cool with her and then all of a sudden she's nuts. Or was it like you saw it in the movie? Because I didn't really feel those when she did try with her. It felt very fake to me. Didn't feel genuine that much.
Yeah, it was still pretty fake at the beginning once she left.
But I mean, in the book, did you get the sense
I feel like there's a little bit more dialogue between Enzo and Millie after Nina leaves.
But I'm talking about the girls.
Trying to answer the question. Okay. And also, I think Enzo is still talking to Nina once she leaves with Cecilia. So once Millie figures it out, then they start to kind of like...
Who's them?
Millie and Nina start to build more of a relationship. And they show you like a scene at the end of the movie between Nina and Millie. But they actually have like a stronger bond by the end of the book.
Well, that's what I mean. Like what you're saying still doesn't explain them having any connected moments before any of that stuff happens.
They don't have any connected moments.
There's no parts in the book where she's like, oh, she gave me all these clothes and I was really feeling like, yay. And then, I mean, she wouldn't say it like that. And then she's shocked again.
There were moments where she was like, oh my God, then she goes and does something like nice. But I feel like there's also commentary in the book about it being very double-sided. It's like she gives me these clothes.
Right.
Because she's telling me my clothes look bad or trashy, or then then she accuses me of stealing her clothes, because you remember like at the end when she loses her shit, right, she's like, yeah, you're on parole, and right, what if I tell them all these clothes that are in your closet that you stole from me? So the nice things that she did for her had I got distracted by the cat.
It's okay, that's what they're
it was like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm going to say, like, for me, for that ending to work with them having this, like, moment of unity to kill this motherfucker, I just...
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, guys see this movie before we talk about it, always.
Well, that's what you should say at the beginning.
I sometimes put it in the little description. Spoiler alert. Please watch the film. I will. Don't you... You're so close, babe. I think you need to back up a little. You're kind of like this. It's like heavy. It's a little like, it's like the Night Stalker calling and leaving messages. Is anybody home? It's a little scary. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Just trying to make sure it doesn't, because you're going to be super loud and then I'm going to be like way over here. I'm just saying for me, it was hard to buy that moment because, and maybe the reason she didn't, if we're going to get to the storytelling, maybe they didn't in the book too. Maybe they didn't think they could add moments of that, a little deeper moments of connection, because it would stop. Because what she did want, Nina wanted this girl to fuck her husband.
Yeah.
So maybe she thought, if I'm too chummy with her, she's going to feel bad and she won't follow through.
Right.
So I can see why she didn't want to get too chummy.
But I think after, in the book, after they kill him, they have a relationship where they like figure out a life for Cece and Nina. And then Nina's like, you could really do, there's like a lot of women that need your help. And like,
that's leaving out a lot of real shit. Like it, I'm sorry. I know it's a book, but like
it's a book and it's a movie and it's not supposed to be like,
no,
every
but
detail.
That is not how I perceive these things. I like a good story. That's a little realistic. Like she's not even a little mad that this woman did this to her. It doesn't take her a minute to get over it. Are you sick of this conversation?
Millie?
Yeah. I mean, she's like all... I mean, I know in the moment that has to just happen because they're dealing with this guy and they're trying to
themselves. Well, I think once Millie gets locked up in the closet because she broke a dish and didn't clean the dish and the asshole locks her up in there because he's clearly a Looney Tune.
Right.
He's the real Looney Tune. Like, you didn't wash a dish. Having nice dishes is a privilege.
I mean, I guess that's true.
Now you need to slice your stomach 21 times with the broken plate. Like, what? Then I think Millie is like...
Okay, good point. All right.
But that's where, again, with your comment on the voiceover could have been helpful for her to have the voiceover and be like, oh my God, Nina's not crazy. Like for her, because in the book that does happen where she's oh my God, now I actually know what's going on.
I mean,
here.
If they're going to do a voiceover, keep it going.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I mean, no offense to my film school whatever I was I learned, but that is true. Like, keep it going. If you're going to, first of all, voiceover is a very, sorry guys. And I agree with my teachers that taught me this, and I'm not a filmmaker in any way now, but I do think it is a cop out. Doing a voiceover is a really easy way to not do any work in a movie. It is. You don't have to do much. You just have them say everything they think, and that's it. You don't have to do any other creative work around that, especially for the actors too. You just, we're just going to tell you everything.
I think for this story that was so layered, it could have worked if they had done it the whole time.
I probably would have liked to see it continue a little more. But anyway, let's get back to, like, because I know we're getting a little long now. Well, what, you know, so you liked the movie.
I liked the movie.
Did you like the book better?
Well, I can't, I'm going to just say yes on the mere fact that I didn't know what was going to happen. In the movie, I knew it was going to happen because I read the book.
That's the hard part about that, huh?
But I would think if the movie was the first time I've ever seen it or heard the story, I would really like it. I mean, because I like the twist at the end. I like how he ends up locked in there. Mm-hmm. And then Millie just, like, fucking, she just is like the craziest, says the craziest shit to him. And yeah, I think that's great.
I mean, that's honestly the best part of the whole movie.
It is.
Like, that's when it gets good.
Right.
You're like, oh shit, here we go.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, this is going to be good now.
Right.
Because then at that point, I couldn't.
The other thing, though.
Yeah.
That I liked that they put in there, and I don't remember if this was in the book or not. When they interview Millie at the beginning, she's like, I have charcuterie and whatever. And then when you find out that Nina knew and was intentionally grabbing Millie to kill her husband or, like, whatever.
Right. Get out, get free.
When Millie leaves the interview, you see Nina Winchester holding this little cheese knife.
Right. Right.
And then what you later find out is she hides the cheese knife the room. So there is, like, a little moment of solidarity of not her just, like, her out to dry, but being like, I know what's going to happen to you, and I'm just going to leave a little sliver because all of her stuff gets moved out of that room.
Right. No, but that's a good point. That is a moment.
And that's actually how she's able to get, when the guy comes in to, like, let her free after she's cut her stomach 21 times, which, like, crazy.
Yeah, and then he rips his own tooth out. I mean, these people are doing things that are insane.
Yeah, but they're also, like, starved for water. Like, that's a little bit more drawn out, too. Again, with a voiceover. In the book, it's like a voiceover because she's like, I only have a half a bottle of water left. Like, I'm really not well. Like, it's so hot in here. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the dialogue of, like, what leads her to be like, I guess I have to do this. Like, I got to get out of the room. Mm-hmm. Like, what if I do it and he doesn't, you know, like, there's all that thought process. But then when he finally comes in to let her out, she has the little cheese knife and she stabs him in the jugular with it and then is able to get away from him and lock him in the room.
Correct.
And if that cheese knife weren't there,
she wouldn't have been able to.
She wouldn't have been able to do
that. So that's a good point. So that's like a,
that's like a here, sister.
Yeah, here you go.
Here you go, sister.
You betcha.
Cheese knife.
Cheese knife.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's the movie, really.
Yeah, and then at the end, there's some extra. I like when things are tied up with a little ribbon at the end, and so
what's the ribbon?
Well, there's a couple ribbons. Some of the ribbons are...
Let's hear it. What's the ribbon?
You find out when Nina Winchester is telling her story on how she met him, she reveals very quickly that he had a fiance named Kathy.
Oh, right. The cop.
And at the end...
Okay. Yes.
Because they push him over the staircase and the cop that's interviewing her is like...
Yeah.
He had a pretty deep laceration to his neck from the cheese knife. And she's like, how did he, and he sustained a lot of injuries for just like falling. And and you see like Nina Winchester being like, oh my God, I'm caught. And then the cop goes, you know, I actually knew Andrew Winchester because he was engaged to my sister, Kathy.
Yeah, I know. We were there, babe.
Okay. So that part is great. That's a nice tied up ribbon.
Yeah.
And at the funeral when the mother says like the crazy thing about teeth are a privilege and you have to take care of them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because then you're like, this is a family pattern. Like this is a cycle, this behavior, this crazy.
There's a lot in
consequences
the story.
Consequences for your actions.
Yeah, consequences
which, you know,
for your
that
actions.
Reminds me of.
What's going on in the world right now?
Yeah.
You know, actually, if you're upset about what's going on in the world right now, go see this movie. It's kind of a nice little, like, fuck you.
It is. It's a good...
Sorry, I'm not, like, I'm just saying. If you listen to this podcast, you know probably a little more about me than you should. I'm not sure. I don't care. Well, I mean, that's what I was trying to say earlier. Like, you're scrolling.
I'm not.
Oh, my God. You just started scrolling. You're the first.
Yes.
I don't know if I can have you back. You have to hold it. No, you can't scroll. No. All right, guys. She's done. I'm going to continue on by myself. Because I'm not done. I have 10 more. I'm giving myself 10 more minutes okay. And then I'm going
to
be done.
I just
done.
Needed to know where.
Well, I wanted to get to some was. Really good stuff, like which is like the stuff I usually do, which is like. Let's talk about just why this movie... Okay, first of all, why do we love movies like this? We love movies like this, why? Because we like to see rich people suck it. I'm just going to say why I think people like these kind of movies. Why do people watch Law & Order for like 20 decades?
I also think people like to see women be victorious
yes.
against abusive men.
Thank you. That too. We also love women being perceived as useless and helpless, having a comeback... And being like, guess what? I'm not.
Right.
Like that whole thing
like
is something
the outsmarting.
That we love.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I think a lot of women are sick of, you know, I don't know what, I know the movies, it's a story. It's just a movie. It's just a book. But like, I think that's why, because you have to think about it. Like, why do people want to see these movies? Why do we want to see a movie about someone who gets basically abused and kidnapped and then gets to like, you know, kill the bad guy?
Right, it's the same story
yeah.
as like...
And it's a little twisted though because we still do things in it. There's stuff that she does in there that I was cringing at so hard, by the way.
Right.
When she decides to go to the show with him, Millie.
Right.
I'm like, are you fucking crazy?
Right.
And also he's doing it too. I'm like, come on. That whole time I'm like, this is so dumb. But you know why it's actually, we go along with it? Because women still do this stuff.
Right.
We still do it. We still will go with the hot guy. I mean, it's funny to me, but it's like why it works in movies.
Right.
I think it's, and it's just true. If you're good looking enough and rich enough and you are like, hey, just come on, help me go cheat on my wife. It'll be fine.
That's not how he phrased
it. You
know
what he's doing though.
Like
it's not stupid. Like
you're not stupid. And she definitely is not stupid.
She's not stupid. So
she knows.
But also,
you know what it is?
That she's about to go fuck this guy in New York City.
You know what? Let's just talk about women have sexual needs and that's what that really is.
That was weird
that I just said that.
No. No, but that was
no
weird.
But I'm just saying I feel like people, it's like this is probably not something I should say like about women, but I think that men typically get painted as being like the dogs, you know, like oh they're just like sexual beings and blah blah.
Right,
it's like
right
so
right.
are women. Women have needs and
no,
like
I mean,
this
that's
girl
true that
and
is
like
true.
She
yeah, okay.
And I will say that again voiceover in the book she talked about she's like it's been so long like I haven't been like I was 18 years old when I got locked up like it's been so long since I've had any male attention and like, you know, stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And this guy is insane looking.
Yeah. And like, you want to be like, oh, come on, girl. But then I'm like, Julian,
come on, girl.
I want to be like, Julian, do you know thyself? Like, come on.
So you're saying that you, okay.
You can say.
No, it's
what
okay.
You
I won't.
You can
I
ask.
I don't want to get you in any kind of trouble.
Okay.
I'm saying like, if you were Millie, would you do that? Knowing this psycho lunatic is already such a psycho. I mean, you have to take that into factor.
Right. But I think that's the thing is like, because she was so psycho,
mm-hmm.
she didn't like her. So it was also, that was another way to be like, screw you. Like, you're a lunatic. And she probably was also feeling bad for Andrew. That he was with this lunatic.
Right. Well, you know, she also heard about that prenup situation.
Right.
I think that is a definitely like pushes the story forward.
Right.
It's like, well, this girl could lose it all.
Right.
And I could slip right in with these tatas and this.
These doe eyes and sultry
hair
lips.
That has always been, what do you call that? Her hair looks done at every moment.
It didn't at the beginning of the film.
No, but she ends up having like the curls.
Yeah, just like Nina.
Just like, what do you mean just like Nina?
Nina had the curls.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
I thought she just dyed her hair blonde.
She did her hair just like Nina with the curls.
Oh, well. Slut. Just kidding.
No, I think, yeah, if I was in a situation where this woman was being erratic and I felt bad for her husband and like he just seemed like such a sweet guy, yeah, I probably would have done the same thing.
I think a lot of people would, yeah. But I just was like, okay, this is going to go bad. That's what I thought.
Well, the whole time. It's going to go bad. Yeah. That's...
And every step of the way, he's like, well, I guess we can't be driving home now. So I guess we'll just get rooms together. I'm like, oh my God.
No, if I was like, and I think that's again to your point, which is like they couldn't create any moments between Nina and Millie that made them like pals, because then she would have a conscience about what
right.
she did.
I mean, that's true. That actually makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, are there any, we should end it, but are there any other themes that like made you really enjoy this because you were like, and why you read, I mean, like, why would you read a book that's a, because it's just fun, right?
Oh, my kid's calling me.
Okay, well, I can end it.
I like...
Babe, you should answer it.
No, it's okay. I can call her right back.
Okay.
Hey, wow. Char. Shout out.
do not listen to this ever.
No, I think what's great is that the twist is so severe in the movie. And
it's okay.
It just makes it good. But then I will say, like, reading the next two books... You're like, you want the twist to happen. You're like, when's the twist happening? Because you know it's going to happen. So you're just like, why hasn't it happened yet? So,
oh, okay.
You know, and yeah. And I will say that about all of her books. Right. Like, you know, there's going to be some sort of crazy like turn that happens that you, and that's, I think, also why you can read her book so quickly. Because you're like, I just want to get to the part where your mind is blown.
Yeah.
You
know what it's like The Silent Patient that they should make into a film.
Well, that twist was, you had to get to the end.
Yeah, that was way at the end.
Way at the end.
So that would be hard to do in a film.
Yeah.
Because people would get bored.
Right.
Maybe. Or they might just be really fascinated by her being a lunatic.
Well, I also think things that happen at the very end of a movie where the twist happens, you leave the theater and you're like, what did I just watch? Like, what?
I love when a movie is like such a severe twist like that and then they just leave you with it.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that is what you're talking about. But I can't think of another one right now off the top of my head that was just like, what? And then you're like, oh my God, that was cool.
And then usually you have to go rewatch it because there were clues leading up to
that's
it.
That's so fun.
That is fun.
Is that Knives Out? Do they do that? A little?
Probably. I don't know.
I feel like that's a very, like at the end, you're like, oh, I need to go back now and watch how they got here.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, The Housemaid, it's who's it for? It's for anybody who likes good looking people on screen.
Weird, twisty, psychological screwed upness.
Yeah.
Any of you had overbearing parents that always said you have a consequence for everything? You should probably watch it.
Also crazy mothers. I mean, I can relate to that. I was like, break those goddamn plates. Anybody who's too weird about their stuff, like that was another thing. Like, what is going on here? That was weird. There's a lot of films like that. All right. I'm just like sitting here now, just having my own thoughts.
Well, go see the movie and go to The Secret Sauce.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good pairing. I will say.
And also read her books.
Yeah. Or read the book after and see what that's like instead of before. And if you guys, I'm okay. So let's wrap this up. I think we're also just a little tired.
We're tired.
This is past our bedtime doing this late. And, I was hoping we could have some funny stuff to say, but we didn't really do
It's not a really funny haha movie.
It is to me. I was laughing a lot. I was like, what? When
If someone locked you in a closet and told you that you had to pull your tooth out with pliers.
Well, that happened at the end.
Would you have done that?
I don't think so. I think I would have died of starvation and thirst. I would have just been like, all right, then I'll just be here.
My question is, why did nobody take the bed apart and try to bust down the window?
I mean, I guess nobody got to that point.
Right. But cutting your stomach 21 times.
I really thought he was going to be able to bust that door down, though. I have to tell you. Yeah. I was like, that door does not look that intense.
Right.
Maybe I'm just ruined from watching like too much SVU and people just bust into doors every 5 minutes with their foot.
Right.
I mean, that's all they do. They just kick a door down like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this guy's going to bust this door down.
Right.
I mean, he was slamming it and that whole thing was shaking. I was like, she's going to be in trouble soon.
I'm sorry, I'm yawning.
I know, I'm boring you, apparently.
You're not boring me.
Guys, I'm really trying to give you some good content here. It's just not working. Well, if you like a lot of boobies, if you like hot guys, if you like a good mystery, and I think you'll enjoy it. Now I'm just going on and on.
But also, hopefully you've already watched it, because otherwise
we've... No, of course you watched it. That's true, but...
Yeah.
If all you right. haven't, you can still go see it. You'll still want to know what happens. All right. I'm going to say this at the end. This is not about this movie. I think I'm back for a while. I'm going to try and do... I just saw the new Jim Jarmusch film, which I would love to talk about. I'm probably going to get my friend Kalinda on here from Thrive 302. She's doing a lot of cool stuff in the area. And she's also a TV and film person. So we can discuss that. And if you guys have suggestions, let me know. If anybody wants to do this with me, please do. I will try to check out what the Oscars... They haven't been released yet. The nominations for the Oscars this year are not out until the 22nd. If you care, check it out. Maybe I will do some more film reviews on those. So everyone have a great day, evening. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
See you next time. Woohoo!